To the rest of the country, 1976 was America's bicentennial. But in California, that's the year everything changed.
Wine is sunlight held together by water. The poetic wisdom of the Italian physicist, philosopher, and stargazer Galileo Galilei.
The words of Galileo are brought to life by Alan Rickman in the film Bottle Shock, which premiered at the 2008 Sundance Festival. The film was written and produced by the husband and wife team of Randall Miller and Jody Savin. The film tells the story of the Judgment of Paris, a blind taste testing organized by an English wine expert, the Alan Rickman character. To everyone's amazement, the wine from California wins. Randall Miller, who also directed the film, told me what the California wine industry was like in the early days.
It was really a bunch of farmers, a bunch of dirt roads, a bunch of people from other walks of life who had put it all on the line to, like, sort of get their dream of trying to make great wine in the spirit of the French great wine.
There's a character, Gustavo, that's a whole different tradition, and you get the feeling that there has been a little contention in Napa Valley between the upstarts who are coming in with the money and the folks who've been building good wines for a long time.
You know, Gustavo is a real character. I mean, he's a fabulous winemaker. He has a vineyard right now called Gustavo Thrace, and they've actually had a lot more interest in that vineyard since the movie came out. He is a hero in a lot of ways to the Hispanic peoples who, at the time when he rose up and started his own vineyard, most of the Hispanic people in the region were the field workers.
So what did he think? The tea bag, the Brit. Do you like your wine?
I'd like for you to try it.
Nope. You're on your own now, kid.
Are you firing me?
I can't afford you anyway.
You people. You think you can just buy your way into this? Take a few lessons. Grow some grapes, make some good wine. You cannot do it that way.
All right, all right.
You have to have it in your blood. You have to grow up with the soil underneath your nails and the smell of the grape in the air that you breathe. The cultivation of the vine is an art form. The refinement of its juice is a religion that requires pain and desire and sacrifice.
Amen.
My father knew that. He was a field hand, and he never had the opportunity to make his own wine. I know that. And I'm gonna make it happen one way or another.
And he was one of the very first to go off to enology school and become a vintner himself.
I mean, he came with his family. I mean, his brothers and sisters and his father even worked in wineries and worked in fields. And he ended up going to UC Davis, which at the time and still is today is sort of the Ivy League school of winemaking,
yeah.
You know. So he was quite a thing for him. And then for years he worked for Gergich Hills, and then he went over and started his own winery. So he's really quite a testament to that time.
The scene shift to Paris is pretty startling in the movie, and this is when word starts to get around. Was there really a Stephen Spurrier?
Yeah, there really was. Stephen Spurrier, played by Alan Rickman in the movie, was a guy who had a little bit of an inheritance. He went to Paris. He's a Brit, and he had this dream to open a wine shop and to have sort of a wine academy. And he had this idea, and he was making a go, and it wasn't that easy for him. He had great taste. You know, he had great taste in wine, but still, he was a Brit living in Paris, which we can sort of imagine how difficult that might be. And he had this idea that he would put on this, it was our bicentennial year, he would put on this blind taste testing and go and select California wines and bring them back. And thinking full well that most likely the French wines would, of course, triumph. And much to surprise, the opposite happened. And it was this event that basically was small, but it turned everything around.
How did he sell it to the French? I mean, you can't even imagine the French being willing to... They must have assumed that they were just going to mop the floor with these upstart California winemakers.
Yeah, I think they were thinking, screw cap wine. This is just going to be in and out, you know?
And, you know, he convinced these guys who he knew some of them. He convinced them, you know, there was a few people had to be paid a little bit of money to come. And he had this taste testing. And he couldn't get any publicity. He tried really hard to get, you know, the newspapers and different people to come. He found this one guy who later became famous for writing the book about this subject, George Tabor, who was a stringer for Time magazine. He'd never had his name in print in Time, but he'd written stories for Time.
Wine tasting, huh?
Yep. Sends out a message of impartiality. I don't think Tarry and the other judges need to see a label to tell the difference between a Mouton Rothschild and a California twist-topped red.
I don't know. If the French lose, they might bring back the guillotine.
Every great entrepreneurial inspiration has its risks.
What about publicity, huh? Hey, I know this guy, George. He's a great writer. He was even published in Time magazine.
The well-known wine journal. It's too American, too up itself. We need to involve the real news outlets.
You mean the French outlets?
Maurice, this is a sophisticated story. It will lend itself to sophisticated publications that appeal to a sophisticated readership.
I'll call George.
He doesn't even get a credit on the story he wrote about this event.
Yeah, in the actual Time magazine. It was on page 68 or something. It was a relatively small article. And 2 weeks later, after that article hit in the summer of 76, all the California wines sold out of New York, L.A., and Chicago, and that's what started everything.
It's from California?
Mm-hmm. Chateau Montelena.
In one?
In one. Excuse me. May we have a bottle of the 73 Montelena Chardonnay, please?
No, sir, we do not carry it, but you are the eighth person to ask for it within the hour.
Hey, I'd like to buy a bottle of the 73
Montelena Chardonnay.
Yes.
Why is everyone asking for the same wine?
I would step back a minute because one of the funniest bits in your movie is worth talking about. Spurrier did go to California, and he treated the wine business there as though he were in Provence, I guess, or in any part of France. He treated it seriously, but the Californians, I guess they'd never been treated that way before.
Well, he insisted that he would pay for taste testings.
What do you want?
To taste your Chardonnay.
No.
Did I mention that the tasting was blind?
Really? Because the world, or anybody who's at all conscious about what we're trying to do here, tends to think of us as a bunch of hicks taking on the French.
Sure enough.
You know, I don't know about you. But one thing we've learned around here is that if one person succeeds, we all succeed, so I won't speak for them. They might want to be involved, so I'll make some calls.
That's very magnanimous of you. How much do I owe you?
It really did change things, didn't it? I mean, this wasn't the end of it. There was a rematch, wasn't there?
There have been a number of rematches. And, you know, what's great is that it really was the moment that opened up the whole world. You know, it was sort of the democratization of wine in a way, and, you know, Australia and Chile and all the places that make great wine. It was the moment that really sort of opened it all up.
We have shattered the myth of the invincible French vine, and not just in California. We've opened the eyes of the world.
And you know what I say? I say amen to that, brother.
You mark my words. We'll be drinking wines from, what, South America, Australia, New Zealand, Africa, India, China. This is not the end, Maurice. This is just the beginning.
One of the nice things about making a film like this, I imagine, is that you got to shoot all of those gorgeous, gorgeous pictures of vineyards and sunlight. Did the growers let you do pretty much whatever you wanted?
Yeah, I mean, they were very welcoming in the Napa Valley.
It was actually during the harvest season, because when you make a movie about wine, we all sort of think of, you know, grapes on the vine, and that really only happens a couple of months of the year. So It was their busiest season, so the fact that they opened themselves up to us was pretty outstanding, I think, for them.
Sounds like you had a terrific time making this movie.
It was really phenomenal. I mean, you know, the locations alone were so spectacular. That Chateau Montelena itself is just really a spectacular location, and the weather was great, and it's not too bad of a place to spend a summer. We spent all last summer there, and it's really
Yeah, we left Pasadena the day after school ended, packed up a U-Haul, put the two kids and the dog in it.
Yeah, went up there and sort of forged it, hired a bunch
of
people up there.
We rented a little farmhouse out in the fields, and it was just beautiful, you know, those milky sunsets at night over the vineyards.
Hard
really
life,
nice.
This filmmaking business.
It is. And we had to drink some really good wine, which was just...
Just for
research purposes, of course. Yeah,
of course. Dirty Savin and Randall Miller collaborated on the independent film Bottle Shock.